So, what do you mean? Some things we covered in a bit more detail in this section. So what we did was we looked at the timeline of the lesson. So each of those arrows we see is a lesson we covered in the Bible study. It was 13 weeks, and so we said at the beginning was where the creation was, and each of these studies I had a pretty slide deck. Then we get into the
unfortunately caught fire with
Adam and Eve have Abel and also look at that person in Adam's own house. Cain's lineage, how sinful they are, they build cities, they do other things as well. And with Seth, the third one, we see that God, Adam and Eve see that they promise for Seth. And then the remnant is where we talk about Seth's children, Cain's children, and they create a lot of sin. God's not happy about it. And he tells Noah that he can destroy the earth. And with water, and he tells Noah to build that. And then we talk about the next study we talk about in the Word of Man, we talk about Noah and his days in the ark. And we talk about 40 days and 40 nights. And you have to continue to rely on God. The way we do it is Christmas, we trust in Noah as well. And then the portion of that we also talk about after they come out, Noah gives a blunt offering to God, it's pleasing. And Noah, and God gets a covenant with Noah with a rainbow that he will never destroy mankind or the earth with water. And after that, the portion of Noah gets drunk, and his son Ham makes fun of him, and then Noah curses him, and curses him the next day, and it's just said that there's nothing about it. The next study we look at is Noah's sons, which will basically go into a little bit more detail in there. And we talk about the Tower of Babel, where man, again, even though he's saved from the Noah who was saved from the flood, wants to, in the tower, to reach God's presence. And then God basically confuses everything by introducing languages. We go into that, and then we see the study that we're going to talk about Job, part one, part two. Job 1 basically explains that Job had is a blessed man, and God tests him. And then the bulk of, and then he suffers, he loses all his blessings, his children die, he loses all his wealth, and then he loses his health is not the greatest. And then Job 4, chapter 4, 42, we talk about how Job and his friends have a dialogue on how his friends accuse Job of sinning, and Job doesn't. Says he didn't sin, he's innocent. And then God intervenes after the test and says, Job, you were tested, and then Job also realized he was self-righteous. And after that, God restores all his things to him, and he doubles. So initially, everything he had once in the initial state, but after the whole trial, God blessed him with twice as much. And then we go back into the study of Abraham, and we talk about his origin, his journey to the land of Canaan. And then part we talk about Abraham's two interactions with the king, with Melchizedek, Egypt. And so we talk about his three interactions. And then he also meets Lot. And then in the Lord's Way, we talk about how God restored Sodom and Gomorrah, and how he restores Lot. And then last week, we talked about Hagar and Ishmael, and what God, even though he's just a gracious God. And then this week, we talked about Solomon. So that's a lot of scriptures. If you think about it, it's a lot of time as well. It talks about some time. Earth and the universe was created for the time of birth of Isaac. The interesting part is, even though that's a lot of time, the scriptures only shares three chapters, because the rest of the time it talks about, the rest of the Bible is about foreshadowing of Christ's birth, church. And so it just puts in the grand scheme of things. for creation is an amazing thing, and we have people dedicated to study the beginning of the universe. Everything started. The scriptures just spend a lot of time on that. But the scripture spends a lot of time on the Savior. And that's an important part to remember as well. Any questions, comments, thoughts before we move on?
Okay. So the other thing we talked about is we saw a pattern within Genesis. We saw two basic patterns. The first one is the initial state. So everything we see, Adam and Eve, was an initial state that Adam was in the Garden of Eden. We see Cain, he was just the son of Adam. We see Seth. We see his offspring. We see Noah and his offspring, Abraham and Lot. So the thing we see with that is everything is, there's a reason why there's an initial state. When man sins, and God judges man for the sin, God shows grace on this. And the ideal thing is complete restoration. We don't see that in the book of Genesis. For example, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. So man sins. So Adam bites into the fruit from the tree of knowledge. And then God judges Adam by calling him out of the Garden of Eden. And God shows grace by giving him Seth, because Cain sinned against Abel by killing Abel, so God gave him Seth. But there is no part of the scriptures we see, at least in the Genesis book, how Adam gets back into the Garden of Eden. In the scriptures we see that, in Revelation we see that we are with God. But our Savior in heaven, there's the tree of life, and in the Garden of Eden there's also the tree of life. And it goes down to spiral. So we see Cain, and then Cain kills Abel. Cain is made a wanderer, and God shows us Cain doesn't die. But we never see that Cain is back to the original state. And it's great. Same thing with Seth. Seth and his offspring sinned against God. Seth and his offspring sinned against God. God destroys earth with water because they've been sinful. And then God shows grace, God says no in his family. And again, we don't see the original state of Seth and his offspring. So, but Noah and his offspring, they didn't see, they were the only ones who see how the world was before it was flooded, and then they see how the world was after it was flooded. But Noah can never say that he could never actually relate to the way the Garden of Eden was, because he never had the opportunity for it. And then Noah and his offspring, same thing. God makes fun of Noah. Noah curses him. So then there's the Tower of Babel. And then God judges. God curses him through Noah. Noah even curses him. And God separates the races from man. So this is the part where the sin, there's a separation of the three of the races, if you may. Because God, Noah curses Ham. The other two are not. And your children will fall against the Lord. And then the Tower of Babel, there's the separation of languages. And then we see God shows grace, Abraham comes out of Noah. But we never can relate to how things work. So as you can see on and on, there's a pattern here where it never reaches the complete initial state. It's always a way of going down. So there's sin, then God judges it, God shows grace. There isn't any complete restoration. And the reason, I believe, is it's a foreshadowing of what Christ did on the cross. So, with Christ, the price he paid on the cross, we are able to, even in the spiritual sense, be in the Garden of Eden with Christ and be with our Father. And this is, so in many ways, the book of Genesis tells us where we came from, but it doesn't really show us where we need to be. And that's why I think this book is really helpful to understand where we were. We were created by God, and we were in the Garden of Eden, but it doesn't say where we need to go. So the other pattern that was here was from the book of Job. And that also shows you that in the initial state, God was a godly man with blessings. God tests man Job with his blessings. Job's health is impacted. Fellow man judges Job. Job three times judged him. Job must have sinned, therefore he needs to repent. And the interesting thing about that is it was Job's three friends. It wasn't three strangers. And that tells you that even Job's three friends couldn't tell that God was testing him when they thought he's sinning and God is judging him. And that was the pattern we looked at earlier. And the results from the test were God tells everyone Job didn't sin, he was being tested. But Job was also humbled because he was self-righteous. And the complete restoration, the initial one we looked at, where there was initial stages where they were completely restored, but in Job's case, his blessings were doubled. So that shows you that if Job had really sinned, then he wouldn't have had the blessings in the initial stage. So I think one of the couple things we need to remember is that when people, in many times, they see how God operates, and then they come to judgment on what some things we do. And so in this case, Job's friend said, you must have sinned, therefore repent. And when Job said he didn't sin, then they called him a fool and on and on. So we also see that in this portion we saw without restoration, which we see it doesn't mention, men are flawed, regular men, Cain was a flawed. In their case, Cain was just flawed, there wasn't. And we see God was talking to him. We see Lot. He was flawed as well. He lived in Sodom. And he took, when his uncle offered him to make a decision on what land he wanted, he didn't turn back to Abraham, as what it's done in the Middle East, because he had respected elders like an Christian. But he went ahead and took it. And not only that, he settled in the city, he was part of the government there. And so we see a lot of flaws there. But we also see the godly men are flawed. We see Abraham, who was flawed, we ran to him because there was famine in the land where he was living in Canaan. He went to Egypt. And then he tells that his wife was his sister, so he was a kill, but God intervened. That's a major flaw. If we had godly people do those type of things today, imagine how we would judge them. Especially with the way of social media and news and things like that. Same thing with Job, right? Job, he didn't sin. God tested him, and Job recognized that he was self-righteous. And we see this with Noah as well, who he saved mankind by obeying God and living in the ark and living in the ark with his family and the animals, but he was drunk and he cursed his children. So, those aren't the ideal things about, what we consider about godly men. But those are some things we also have to remember that we fit in those categories as well. We are not perfect. We are perfect through Christ, but as regular people, we are flawed, and in many ways we can relate to what these individuals are going through. We can also identify with Cain and Lot because those are individuals, especially Cain and his lineage. We can identify with them before we were saved. And then people afterwards, after we were saved, we can identify with Abraham, Job, and Noah because we realize that it's an everyday struggle. So, in the portion, we also talk about God opposed his covenant. So, he made a covenant with Noah, God will not destroy, what will not be destroyed by water. We made that with Noah, and we realized that we still see the rainbow and the covenant still strong. It wasn't that he made the covenant and disappeared. We still see the covenant with the way God, and God made that with Noah, we still see it. Abraham, he will have many children, and we see that too. The Jewish race, Hitler tried to wipe it out. We saw many empires trying to wipe out the Jewish race. And the Jewish race is still there, and we see that Christians are part of that through Christ. And so, if you were to say, oh, that's just a book, those covenants don't really make any sense. But those are physical things that we can see. We can tell our kids that there's a rainbow, and we can see what's the story behind it. So that's another reason why this portion of the book is important, because it shows you where we came from, working with the rainfall. In many ways, it shows you some of the things we see around us. We take for granted, but it's crystal clear, you know, the way things are.
So, I was going to, the reading is from John 1:1-5.
I put it on the slide, and I'm just going to read it out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the life of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
So, this is about our Savior.
I kept reading John 1. It shows that in the book of John, we see that the Word was Christ.
So, in the beginning
was the Word. So, Christ was there before the book of Genesis. And Christ was with God. And Christ was God. And he was in the beginning with God. So, all things were made through him. See, it's interesting. It says that all things were made through him. It doesn't say all things evolved through him. All things just came about from a big bang. You know, again, nowadays, some things we see in Genesis 1. Then, without him, nothing was made that was made. It also shows everything that was made on earth and heaven, by him, the same, and when the universe is being created, it was with Christ. With him was life, and the life was the light of man. And when we see in that portion of Genesis 1:21, we see the value of life. We see when Cain kills Abel, that there was life taken. It wasn't. And we see that the life was the life of man. So, in many ways, when people die, they don't have the life. So, you know, and God, in that portion, destroys mankind through the water, and then he took away life from the sinner. And we see man taking away life as well, but like Cain did, and his offspring Lamech did, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So, you know, when we go into the world, and we take Christ, we don't really understand. People don't understand what's the power of Christ. But only through the grace of God and through the power of God, we realize that sinful man who understands the light, and he realizes or she realizes that Christ is the Son of God. And so I think this is something we need to constantly remind ourselves is that Christ, and we talked about there was no restoration, and in this portion I read, God was there, Christ was there, and God knew that God is gracious, God is just, that God doesn't give complete restoration. From Genesis 1:21, the restoration can only happen through Christ.
So if we were to say, you know, the pattern I talked about earlier, you know, initial state, man sins, God judges, God's grace, is that, and we see that with Adam, and we see all the way down to Isaac, we said, with God's grace, the light never fully was never the same brightness. It slowly dimmed to the same things that in Christ's death. We can say that the light that shines through us is the strong light, and we are completely restored with God through Christ's death and his blood and his sacrifice. So, the overall summary, you know, again, spans creation to the birth of Isaac, what we read, studied the last 14 weeks. What is the significance of the creation? It highlights our origins, where we came from. The scriptures and the study of them build us up to understanding, easy to teach our kids. The scriptures validate the need for a Savior. So, like I showed you, know, nothing was completely restored. That Genesis 1:21 shows that they need to be fully restored. Otherwise, man in his current state will completely devolve and fall into complete sin. And when we look at Genesis 1:21 and say, you know, if someone's only read Genesis 1:21, they would say, you know, it's an incomplete
see God's true love and how he rescues mankind from sin.
In closing, I would like to say, in closing, I read this earlier. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a present. With Christ, today and tomorrow are a gift of God, because we know where we are going to be, and we know that only through Christ that our salvation, our destination, is fully, you know, it's clearly defined. It's not a mystery. I think what we need to do is we need to show the love of God. That when people are struggling, what is my life going to be tomorrow or the next year, 2 or 3 years, they have to show them that Christ has died for them, and that his death on the cross and what he did for us is the gift of God, and today and tomorrow is a present for him. And that's all I have. Thank you for your time. I really enjoyed the last few weeks. I got a lot of it, and if you guys have any questions, let me know.